First in this hour, we are joined in studio by friend of the show, the talented Mike Toole. Yes, I mean, we know him from television, ClearPoint Financial. He's everywhere these days. Mike in studio with us to talk a little hockey and more. Welcome.
Of all the places I'm ever, this is the best right here.
Go good. Well, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah, it's great to be with you, Rich. Thanks for having me in.
How were your holidays?
Excellent. You know, I have grandkids, so there's nothing like grandkids and holidays, you know.
Yeah,
it was a lot of fun. And last year we were, you know, skating on the rink that I made in the yard.
Which was so impressive.
It turned out really well. It was our first attempt, and it really, really turned out well. And my son, John, created, you know, we made our own Zamboni, and, you know, we had it kind of down to a science.
Yeah.
But this year, boy, the weather just hasn't worked. You know what I discovered? If you want a winter with no snow, in the fall, buy yourself a snowblower.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
This is the second time this has happened.
You get a snowblower or a snowmobile, anything like that, then nothing will happen.
I bought it, you know, we got a long driveway. So I bought a tractor this year, and I was all excited because, you know, nothing like getting on a tractor and moving some snow around.
Right.
It's been out exactly once, and even then, I probably couldn't. Gotten away with not doing it because it was mostly slush.
You had to test it out though, make sure.
Of course. So the ice making at on Toole Lane is not what it was a year ago. I can tell you that.
Sorry to hear that. Well, maybe I'm hoping. I mean, I'm not a big winter fan, but yeah, I want something here. I don't want rain in January.
No. I want rain when it's when it's appropriate and in the spring. This time of year, it's going to be cold and miserable anyway. You might as well have snow so you can get out and do something.
Well, exactly. And for all those people whose livelihood depends on that in the wintertime here in the state, you want to see that. And even something like, I don't really want a million ticks around next summer.
Yeah, there's that too. That's for sure. But at least, you know, we have ice at Alfond.
Darn right. We do indeed. And well, let's talk about last weekend.
Yeah.
Alaska Anchorage came to town. They were riding high. They've been playing pretty well lately.
Yeah.
What went right for Maine?
Well, they were persistent. They just kept at it. Maine's really made some strides in certain areas from a year ago and even from the beginning of the season. So where they've gotten a lot better is their defense corps. Much more efficient with the puck, much better at moving the puck out of their own zone. They don't tend to turn the puck over, and I'm going to hedge that comment because I saw a little bit of reversion of that in the second game against Alaska last week, and they did turn the puck over, which has been uncharacteristic of them this year. But their defense corps is much better at handling the puck. Guys like Sirota, who's always been good, Brazil, who's, you know, come on last year, but the freshmen like Antonacci, Holt, Chabrier, Arnott, those guys are really good at making that first move around that first forechecker. You have to beat the first forechecker and get steps and then make that pass into the neutral zone. And so they've gotten really good at that, but I saw a little bit of a backslide on turnovers. Uncharacteristic. Sirota turned the puck over. Brazil turned the puck over a little bit last weekend. Fortunately, it didn't cost them. But for the most part, their defense corps is much more mobile and moving the puck. So a lot of your offense comes from your defense and how you leave your own zone. And last year, and really the last few years, Maine would expend just so much energy just trying to get over their own blue line.
Right.
And by the time you get to the neutral zone, everybody's adjusted. You don't have odd man situations. You're out of gas, so you got to dump it in.
Mm.
And, you know, that's hard to watch. So they're a lot better at doing that now. And that is the most the most obvious improvement that I see. The other area of improvement is along that same line on defense is their goaltending.
Oh, been so good.
Yeah. So Osman is he's got to play. He's got to play every game going forward. Yeah. You're not going to rely on the other two guys, unfortunately. But Osman, a year ago, he was uneven. He would have a great game and then give up four the next night.
Yep.
And we know Maine only scores on average 2.4 goals per game. So if you give up four, you know, it's an L. So he's been very, very consistent this year. And so, I think you have to look at Alfie Michaud. you know, the guy has turned out some quality goaltenders the last few years. And so what's the common denominator between Swayman and, you know, Swayman was good coming in, but he was really good when he left.
Well, and Alfie learned from the best.
Sure did. From Grant.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so, you know, so that's been a real pleasant surprise. And Osman's goals against is, you know, minuscule 1.9 or something like that. So that's really good. The trouble for Maine is scoring goals.
Yeah.
Now, they have brought down their, you know, their differential was upside down. They were giving up more on average than they were scoring. Now it's about even. Okay. But it's still, you know, 2.4 goals per game versus giving up, you know, about the same on average.
Are they just not getting good opportunities?
No, they are getting opportunities. That's the problem. They're volume shooters, first of all.
Yep.
You know, they're averaging 32, 33 shots on goal per game, which puts them in the upper echelon of Hockey East. Their attempts per game, and some of the games that we've done have been in the 70s. We had one game, I think there was 82 attempted shots on goal. So they're attempting shots. And we get a score sheet at the end of each period that's a chart of where the shots occur from. So when they talk about, you hear on us talk about, or anybody in a hockey game talking about scoring chances, Sean Walsh used to call them grade A's. Larry Mahoney calls them grade A's.
Yep.
Well, we call them now scoring chances. They're high quality scoring chances. And basically think of it as shots between the dots, you know? And you sort of draw a trapezoid from the goal out to the top of the face-off circles. It looks like an inverted home plate, okay? And shots in that area are considered scoring chances. Maine gets a lot of them.
Mm.
And I'm talking 18 to 20 per game. Their shooting percentage is 7.4%. They score on 7.4% of the shots on goal.
That seems low, is it?
That is low relative to, I think the lowest team in Hockey East is maybe New Hampshire, something like that, at 6.9.
Mm.
So they're down there. Now, so what is the problem? Maine can skate with anybody. They're physical when they need to be. They're not usually too physical. They've brought their, since Ben Barr has come in, they've brought their penalties in minutes per game, PIM they call it. That was in the teens, and now it's 9-ish, 8 right. point something, okay? Which is where good teams should be, okay? So, you know, if you're playing hard and you're engaging the other team, well, you're going to get penalties.
Sure.
That's just part
of it.
And
you don't mind those.
Well, you don't mind penalties in the defensive zone. Certainly, penalties after the whistle are terrible.
Yes.
You know, they haven't had many of those, which is good. There have been a couple of penalties, like the penalty when Maine got a five on. They got a 5-minute major. I'm trying to think at the end of the game Saturday, and you know, as the game is winding down, and the first thing Jacob Sirota does is take a stupid holding penalty to negate 5 minutes. You know, two of the 5 minutes.
Yeah.
You know, they killed it off, and we won in overtime. And you know, okay, great, but.
But a veteran player also has to know the situation of the game.
Should. Oh, yeah. No, and he's aware of it. It's, you know, but they're kids and they, you know, there's brain cramps that happen out there and that sort of thing happens. But in general, that has, you know, that has been largely taken care of. Their problem is, you know, it's a skill level thing, really. They get into the prime scoring area and they're either hitting the goaltender in the midsection, i.e. no rebound.
Right.
You know, or I saw it a few times Saturday. I was just appalled at how many misfires. You know, back in the day, we used to call it not getting good wood on it, but sticks aren't made of wood anymore. So not getting good fiber, you know, on it, or composite, whatever it is. You know, shanks, you know, just kind of, you can hear it and it's just,
it's not the same sound as when you
not at all
catch it on the sweet spot there.
Exactly, and doesn't have the velocity or the placement, and so you know Maine and Coach Barr knows this. I mean, they've made tremendous strides in the areas I've talked about, also in the offensive zone. They get a lot of zone time, you know, offensive zone time. They're getting high quality scoring opportunities, but they're not finishing around the net.
Right,
and that's, you know, it's an intangible in some respects, you know, but it's also just a skill, stick skill level. And they just don't have guys that can finish around the net. And so they're 90% of the way there. Yeah.
Are they getting better on specials?
Penalty kill, sort of, around where you're supposed to be, you know, the 80-20 rule that we always talk about.
Right.
You got to be 80% proficient on your penalty killing and score on 20% of your power play. So power play, no. You know, they're at around 11% power play, and that's just, you know, not going to get you anywhere. So most of the teams are going to give you 3 or 4, maybe 5 power play opportunities in a game. And you got to convert on 1 or 2 of those,
right,
on average, in order to win. Then, if not, you got to rely on 5-on-5, and you got to hope that you're penalty killing, and your goaltender is your best penalty killer. And, you know, that's sort of worked out for Maine for the most part. But there have been winnable games where Maine has certainly had enough scoring chances, high-quality scoring chances, and just didn't finish around the net. And that's, you know, that's the only way I can think to, you know, categorize it.
We're talking with Mike Toole here on Downtown. Certainly one of the positives this season has been not just the number of freshmen who've been out there playing and getting some good time, but the way they've played certainly bodes very well for the future of Maine hockey, seeing this talented group.
Yeah, they've been impactful. Okay, so Maine lost a lot of guys to graduation and some transfers and whatnot. And there was, there's a lot of guys that came in. Thomas Friel had a great goal at the end of the first game against Alaska, just a high quality shot in the slot area. That was a goal scorer's goal. Felix Trudeau is a guy that looks like he's got some promise. You know, he's been hurt, but he's been back in the lineup and showing up on the score sheet. I mentioned the defensemen. They're not big, but they're mobile and they're smart hockey players, and they move the puck smartly and they don't tend to make mistakes. And they exit the zone, as I said before, with confidence, with speed. You attack the you get through the neutral zone with speed. You attack the offensive blue line, and then you're in a position to do something. And that happens quite a bit with Maine. So, the freshmen are impactful. And you got to believe that another year, and, you know, get into the second half of the year, and that's where you're seeing, you know, Cole Hansen was, well, I guess he's not a freshman, but he's new to the program. Thomas Friel had a great weekend. Some of these guys, Keeker Olson, they're impactful. They're making a difference out there. And, you know, it's experience. You know, you got to go through the fire and early on. It's a big adjustment for these guys coming out of junior hockey to college hockey. And so, and from what I hear, Coach Barr's got lined up coming in, there might be some offensive production that gets added to it.
Good.
So, yeah, that's kind of the missing ingredient.
Let's talk about this weekend, a big Hockey East series, Lowell, a perennial power in the conference. What's their strength, and what can the Black Bears do to neutralize some of that?
They're going to look a lot like Maine in terms of the amount of goals that they score versus what they give up. So this is going to be a goaltender's battle. Mm. So it'll likely be Ostman against Gringas, who transferred from Alaska last year. He's leading the conference in goals against. So this is a goaltender battle. Now, UMass Lowell, they don't score any more goals than Maine does. They give up a similar amount. They don't score more than 2.4 goals per game. Their power play is slightly better than Maine. Their penalty killing is if not number one in Hockey East, it's right up there at 87%. So this is going to be a battle for Maine. And from here on in, Maine has only got conference games.
Right.
And, you know, what people don't quite realize, or maybe they do, but you look at Maine in ninth place and you go, oh, geez, we're in ninth place. They only played 8 conference games. And everybody else has played 10, 12, 14.
Well, and there are a bunch of teams bunched up in the middle of the pack, too.
That's all the way it always is. So as you come down the stretch of the season, Maine will start to catch up in terms of conference games played, but they have a real opportunity to start to leapfrog. They could leapfrog UMass Lowell.
Well, and when you've got teams on your ice you want to come out of there with 3 points at least.
You
right?
Absolutely, yeah, you absolutely do have to do that. So this weekend is Lowell. Next weekend is they're on the road at BU. Then they have Providence at home. The following weekend, Boston University, Merrimack comes in. Those will be huge. Boston College at the end of February. They finish up with UMass. So they got a lot of games at the Alphon where there's an opportunity to really start to move up the standings. But you've got to you're just going to have to score some goals. I mean, keep coming back to it.
It looked kind of quiet there last weekend or early on, or a little empty. It got loud as the Bears played well. Obviously, the students aren't on campus, but they're playing pretty well. You'd hope for a better turnout this weekend.
Kind of a disappointing crowd Friday night, but Saturday night was. Both sides were pretty full. Mm. There was just the balcony was empty because the students weren't there.
Right.
So Saturday was a really good crowd. And now you would think, with UMass Lowell, a conference opponent coming in, every game from here on in is just going to get more and more amplified. Especially if they can start to win, then my sense is people are going to really want to see this team down the stretch. If they can win, run off a few. Games in a row where they're at least picking up points, that will invigorate the fan base, I think.
Well, it should be a whole lot of fun this weekend. What time are you guys on TV?
Seven.
Both nights?
Both nights are on at 7. So Jeff Mannix has the call. He's great, by the way. He's such a pro.
Well, you guys work so well together.
Well, thank you. I'm really there to support Jeff and try not to step on him too much. I find myself, as he's talking, it's a close goal, and I'm like, you hear me in the background, go! I try to keep that genie in the bottle, but he's great to work with. And then usually after the game, I jump over to radio, and we do a post-game wrap-up with main broadcaster of the year, John Shields.
Yes, absolutely.
Yeah, he's really good, too. He's done such a great job, and it's been fun to watch him grow in that
role.
Both
those guys work so hard. I mean, they put in the time.
They do. And Jeff is, he is incredibly prepared. I'm mostly prepared. But my job is to more reactionary. I'm reacting to what I see out there and trying to describe what happened or what I think might happen Jeff is, he's got to know his stuff. He's got a lot of air to fill.
Yeah, and a lot of names to remember.
Yeah, that's an underappreciated skill. I can tell you that right now. And so, the good thing is when we're playing a Hockey East team, there's a lot you can see. When you're playing Alaska or, Canisius or even Quinnipiac, it's not in our league. You don't see them that often.
Right.
You got to go, oh, okay, what are these guys all about? You just go to the Hockey East website and you got everything you need to know pretty much when Maine plays a conference opponent. So,
talking to Mike Toole here on Downtown.